All right, here we go. It is time, very anticipated time. It is now past 11, starting a little late today on a Friday. Hope you're having a good Friday. It was a very eventful Thursday night football game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get into all of it. It's going to take up probably the majority of our show today. An absolutely wild event. We all have strong opinions on it. It's going to be a wild and eventful show. We got a lot of great content. It's going to be packed. I'm Austin Bechtold. I'm about to go off. Austin Bechtold going off.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And I'm Andrew Gulvash.
And, well, Nate, you said it, so let me start. This, the unthinkable happened in the Steelers and Browns game. An absolutely unbelievable change of events in the game. I don't know how to describe it. We will get into some player reaction after the game. We'll get into reaction from other members of the media. But let's just go with gut reaction at the moment. Everyone watched the game. Everyone, if they haven't, they've seen the play by
and
now.
And honestly, at this point, everybody's forgot about what even happened during the game. The game itself was forgettable.
The game is forgotten about, but here's my take. Myles Garrett, piece of trash. What kind of human being? I don't care what Mason Rudolph said to you beforehand. I don't care if the offensive line was jawing in your face the whole entire time. I don't care. The fact that he thinks that it is okay, even if he didn't, even whatever he thinks, even if he thinks it's excusable, the fact that he thinks he can grab another player's helmet off of his head and whack him with it like a weapon is absolutely pathetic. He's a pathetic individual. It's embarrassing for the NFL. It's embarrassing for the Cleveland Browns. It's embarrassing for the sport of football in general.
It just shows a Cleveland Brown team that's trying to build back from, you know, just horrible seasons year after year, and yet they can't stay disciplined whenever they win a game. They won the game fair and square, you know, going up 21-7, but they have to end it in a way that's such Cleveland Brown-like. Cleveland Brown-esque that, you know, just shows that they'll continue to be a below-average team for years to come, even when they have talented players such as Myles Garrett, but he made a horrible decisions. Yeah, like you said, Rudolph, whatever he said, whatever he did, Rudolph was down there pounding his face, but he had his helmet on. He was trying to grab it off, but never happened, but doesn't mean you can go and grab the quarterback's helmet, who was just coming out of 3 weeks prior of concussion protocol and having a concussion, getting knocked out, and whamming him on the head with it.
He is a punk, and he is also a repeat offender. Myles Garrett just, there's no way to justify it. There's no way to explain it. But you know what? He's going to try to. And here's what he said.
To have it all seem to be overshadowed by that play.
A win's a win. I don't think it's overshadowed by and what happens in 8 seconds. You know, play a hell of a game on defense. Offense came out firing, and we held it down from there on. And what we did on, you know, the field of play for the rest of that game, for the first 59 minutes, you know, that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Oh, great. Yeah, it should not go unnoticed. It doesn't matter, Myles. Your actions in the last 30 seconds or whatever it was in the game are absolutely inexcusable. It erases everything that you did beforehand. It doesn't matter. Your actions leading up to it, it's all thrown out the window. No one's talking about it today. You caused this. You started it. And it is inexcusable for anybody to think otherwise.
Now, the biggest thing is, like, you've seen in the past, you know, Fontez Perfect and these guys that, you know, have been repeat offenders of mainly football plays that were just illegal within the game, but this isn't even a football play that he performed on Mason Rudolph. This was a criminal act trying to seriously hurt someone who was defenseless, was not wearing any protection on, obviously, on their head because he used his own helmet. So it's inexcusable. He should probably be suspended for the rest of the season.
Oh, he should be out for the rest of the season. There's no doubt about that. Not if he's not suspended for 5, 6, 8. This has to be the time when the NFL sends a message. What is the NFL going to tell us? This is going to tell us a lot about the NFL and their discipline policy. When you're suspending players, Antonio Callaway is going to get a 10-game suspension for marijuana. Okay? This is far worse than anything
this
like
that. This could have been outright murder.
Yeah, because he could have seriously hurt him, especially with what just happened with him a few weeks back.
I don't know much about, like, the anatomy and all that stuff, but if you hit someone at the right spot of the head, you could kill them.
Yeah.
If Myles Garrett would have hit Rudolph in, like, the front of the head, like, the forehead, anywhere in, like,
forehead,
his face.
Forehead side, anywhere in that area.
Could have killed him, if not paralyzed him. It could have paralyzed him. It's crazy. It's just, if this was on the street, as James Harrison pointed out in the tweet, if this was on the street, I'll look for the exact tweet, but if this was on the street, James Harrison basically said, you would be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
You would, that's just absolutely, it is a criminal act. James Harrison said, that's assault at the least 6 months in jail on the street. Now add the weapon, and that's at least 1 year, right?
And it's something like that. If he does only get like 4 games, then what is going on in the league? Yeah, you suspend players for, you know, illegal hits. But again, that's part of the game. Yeah, maybe you hit someone, you know, where you're not supposed to. But a bang-bang play, it's hard to
make the right call on stuff like that.
Yeah, but when you obviously have a belligerent attack on someone, again, defenseless.
Perfect didn't even do that.
Yeah, I mean,
those were
football plays.
Those were all football plays.
Tough to avoid because they're such bang-bang. You're moving at high speed. But here, this is a brawl. This is a melee, and Myles Garrett is coming out here with his helmet, with the helmet in his hand.
And he had a clear chance to avoid it. He had a clear chance. He didn't even have to swing at it, but he did.
So let's go to the entire play. Let's just hear how it played out. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, my goodness.
So not much commentary at that point, but basically what the announcers basically said was something to the effect, here's another one.
Gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
You know, Joe, I've been involved with these in the league office, and it would come to officiating first and then go upstairs for discipline, but this is beyond the normal.
Okay, there's the clip I was looking for. A just absolutely awful set of circumstances, which we just know is inexcusable and is just, it's pathetic. There's no good word to describe it because there's so many awful words that you could use to correlate with this act. It's terrible. I just don't know what to say.
Now we've talked a lot about Myles Garrett, but let's go into what else happened in that play. You have Rudolph, you know, there's talks about him getting suspensions, and then Marquise Pouncey will probably get a game,
maybe two.
Yeah.
But for Rudolph, my question is, does he get a suspension? But here's my reasoning of him potentially getting a suspension. Yeah, he instigates it, but it's also within the final 2 minutes. And typically, in any sporting with time on the clock, within like the last like 2 minutes, typically those are suspensions. If you start something late in a game, that's where, you know, they come down on you.
Let's hear quickly what Mason Rudolph had to say.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I mean, it's okay though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Well, that's going to set up a great game in 2 weeks when it's back here at Heinz Field.
Oh God.
Even though Myles Garrett will not be on the field.
Myles Garrett, put him on the field. Put him on the field. You'll see what happens. I don't even know what to say.
I mean, just think about, without even Myles Garrett being out there on the field, the fans in Pittsburgh are going to give it to the Browns, to every single one of their players. When they come out that tunnel, that place will be loud.
Yeah.
Louder than any game this year, because especially if the Steelers go on and win that next win against the Bengals and coming back home 6-5, taking on the Browns, that's going to be a big game for the Steelers. And just even bigger just because of what happened in Cleveland.
What brings you to come to something like this? Like, how much of a man are you?
And also, the other thing is, you're winning the game. Again, Cleveland Brown-esque. You know, you're finally winning. But you can't control yourselves. It's just Unreal.
That just tells you the kind of person that Myles Garrett is, which is a pathetic individual. And it is just, it's just like it was a coward act, just like Mason Rudolph said. So, also in the play, Marquise Pouncey, once he saw the swinging of the helmet, David DeCastro pulled down Garrett, and Marquise Pouncey just goes nuts.
He goes ham
on Myles Garrett. Just starts punching him, kicking him, doing anything he can just to retaliate against him. I give Marquise Pouncey a hell of a lot of credit for defending his quarterback, and that's the type of guy that in the locker room gets the most respect for his actions. Here's Marquise Pouncey.
I'll see what happened. When he ripped the helmet off. I know what happened. I've seen exactly what happened.
Have you ever seen it?
No, that ain't a part of football. Y'all been reporting for a long time. Y'all never even seen that. So, that's what it is.
If that's the line that's crossed for you when it's, all right, gloves up. Yeah, once he swings the helmet, I mean.
Oh, at that point, yeah. It's bigger than football. Protection.
Is that almost like a weapon?
I mean, hell, you could have killed him. What if you hit him in the temple? Yeah, let's be serious. Now, y'all know all these questions, man. You ain't got to ask nobody about any of these questions. Y'all can write whatever report y'all want.
Hey, so when you see this all three of your teammates the other game with concussions, see somebody helmet off your quarterback's head, what's your reaction to that?
You've seen it. Locked out.
Marquise, when you see receivers are hit like that too, emotions, high tension side, they cross the line.
I mean, that part is football. I mean, guys are trying to keep guys on the helmet. I mean, this is not the first time that's happened. So we can't say that was at all. I mean, this was just sporadic.
Marquise, was there something that sparked it, you think? I mean,
as I said, it was out the blue.
Marquise should.
It was out the blue. How about that? A couple things that I take away from Marquise Pouncey saying it was out of the blue. Myles Garrett just going on his own to go at Mason Rudolph because, you know, he felt it was necessary. And Pouncey, in defense of Rudolph, saying it's bigger than football, it's protection. Which at that point, it is a weapon, the helmet that Garrett is using. It is protect. You have to go out there and protect your guy. Marquise Pouncey was given so much credit on social media by so many different guys in the league for just standing up for his teammate and doing, you know, the right thing, even though was it wrong? Was his actions necessarily wrong? Sure. But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was the right thing. I mean, your quarterback's the most important player on the field. You have to protect him. Your line's going to protect him, obviously, during the game. And when something like that happens, yeah. So he will get a suspension probably because, you know, the league's trying to avoid that. You know, you got to put in a statement that this can't happen anymore. So there's going to be definitely suspensions handed down for Pouncey here. Garrett obviously is going to be gone. So that'll be interesting to see what all falls out from it in this case.
Yeah, Mike Pereira of Fox Sports obviously saw the play game being broadcast on Fox Sports. He had his take on what the suspension should be.
This is a terrible situation, and I think that we certainly will be looking at suspensions. You know, I think the swinging of the helmet is like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's actually in the rule book where it says that you cannot take a player's helmet off and use it as a weapon. But to me, Garrett is going to have a pretty lengthy suspension, and not just because of what he did tonight. I mean, you got to go back and look at this season. He's already been fined twice for hits on the quarterback, and now you take this incident. And so I'm not going to be surprised if we don't see something that could approach 4 games. I don't know how long, you know, that they have gone before for an incident like this, but I think 4 games is probably going to be what they do. It could get reduced because certainly the player can appeal the fine. But I just don't see it. And Pouncey, too, where his kicking and just swinging, I mean, again, this goes beyond pretty much anything that I have seen. What will happen is they got some time. That's the thing, because neither team plays until the following week. So I wouldn't look for a decision to be made until maybe Monday or early Tuesday. But, again, this used to come to me when I was ahead of officiating, and then I would look at it, and then I would refer it upstairs for them to make the final decision.
That was a good point there about talking about the time. You have a lot of time to make this decision. Make the right one that's best for the league, that's best for this whole situation, because even 4 games, I don't think that cuts it. I don't.
Yeah.
Just the type of offense he did, I don't think it cuts it.
I think for Mike Pereira does make some good points, but I do think, though, you know, he's right in the fact that you got to let time settle itself to be able to, you know, have more of a clean head to be able to come up with a better decision on what should actually happen. Now, my opinion is not going to waver. I still think that Garrett should be done for the rest of the season, especially, like, we're past the halfway point of the season. It's not like you're suspended. It's not like this happened in week three and we're calling for a suspension for the rest of the season. Like, you know,
you're past the midpoint.
We're not calling for 13-game suspension. We're calling for, like, 7, you know, which would be well issued for that. Now, do I think Pouncey should get suspended? I don't. Will I think he gets suspended? I think he'll get a game. I don't think it's... Will I understand Pouncey getting suspended? Yeah. Based on his actions on the field, yeah, I understand it. But that just shows the character of Marquise Pouncey going out there and just going after somebody that's coming after your guy. Absolutely just a good move for Marquise Pouncey, I think. Just to show, you know, we're not going to let you do this. You're not going to get away with this. My big take on the whole thing is, Cleveland, you wanted a rivalry. You wanted the rivalry back. You think you're good and you think you're a good team now because you beat the Steelers with a backup quarterback. You knock out the Steelers' number one wide receiver. The number one running back gets hurt. The number two wide receiver, Demarius Randall, gets ejected for hitting Deontay Johnson in the head. He's bleeding from his damn ear walking off the field.
This was an ugly game overall.
This game was
for the Steelers.
This game was so ugly. And Pro Football Talk talked about this. They put it out in an article. A high-level source with another team said to Pro Football Talk, he wanted to be anonymous because the quote kind of tells why. He said, if the league is serious, they should fine the Browns $5 million and fine Coach Freddie Kitchens $500,000. That was a bounty game. There were so many unnecessary flagrant hits, and then the cherry on the top. I don't think there's much better way to put it. This looked like a bounty gate game.
It reminds me of, you know, a few years back, the Steelers and the Bengals. Like, just the hitting between Vontaze Burfict. You have Juju throwing hits, you know, a few games later. Just, like, unnecessary hits that aren't part of the game. Then you throw in just the game-ending melee, you know, back near the end zone, you know, that ends up with Myles Garrett doing what he did. Just ugly. Cleveland and Pittsburgh rivalry, but you don't see that type of play. Now it's just escalated into, you know, going to be a good rivalry for years to come. If the Browns are going to compete and if the Steelers are, you know, falling off, that if Browns are trying to take over where the Steelers are, it's going to turn into one heck of a rivalry.
And don't let Larry Ogunjobi's actions be, you know, forgotten about, too. When Rudolph got up after he got whacked by the helmet, he was standing up there looking at the official what is going on here? Like, do something. Larry Ogunjobi comes in and shoves him to the ground from the back and absolutely just, you know, pancakes him, basically.
I don't think there's a suspension there. Maybe a fine. There's nothing really.
There's a game there.
Really?
I think there's a game,
but you don't think Marquise Pouncey gets a game. Do you think Marquise Pouncey
Marquise Pouncey gets at least two or three games.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
He's protecting his quarterback. But he's throwing punches and he's kicking whoever, Myles Garrett.
Do you expect Marquise Pouncey to go in there and not do anything? Do you really expect him?
No. But he's still going to get suspended because if the league does not put down these suspensions on Marquise Pouncey,
so what,
if they're
going
to expect any team to do that, teams are going to we can protect our quarterback any way we want. We can take off the other team's quarterback.
I think the league realizes that what Marquise Pouncey was doing was in retaliation for Vontaze.
It may be right, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve a suspension.
Okay, if he just shoves him to the ground and, you know, maybe
at least holds him
to the ground, his face into the ground or something, okay, but he's throwing punches. That is easily suspended.
I think you need to understand the circumstances of where Marquise Pouncey was coming from.
No.
Yes.
We don't need to understand.
I agree. I think he gets a game. I think he gets one game. But the level of what Pouncey did compared to the level of what Garrett did, who I almost referred to as Vontaze Burfict because his actions are Vontaze Burfict-like, worse than anything Vontaze Burfict has done. I cannot believe I'm saying that. There's a player worse than Vontaze Burfict in terms of actions towards another player, which that alone That alone should be worth looked at and just saying, we're really going to allow this guy to play. Vontaze Burfict finally has got the kicker. You know, suspended for the rest of the season after one hit in Oakland. Like, get out of here. That's what Myles Garrett's becoming. He's becoming an absolute thug on the field that thinks he can go out there and do anything you want. And he's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
So his suspension is going to be high.
Oh, yeah. But back to what we were talking about, Pouncey and Garrett's actions are completely uncomparable because what they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pouncey's protecting. Myles Garrett basically initiated what happened, but Pouncey's still going to get a suspension. That's what we were.
I think Pouncey gets a game.
Yeah. But you at first said no. So.
No,
that's
like,
all we were getting to.
Well, I don't think Pouncey should be suspended, but I think he will be suspended one game. There's a difference in what I would do. I would not suspend him, but I think he will be suspended one game. Now, if he gets suspended two or three, there's no way in hell I don't think that's reduced. I think that is definitely reduced down to a game.
That will be appealed, but there's no reason that if Garrett gets six games, there's no way he should be able to appeal and get less than that.
No. Not at all. He should be. Well,
especially with what he's done, like you said. Earlier in the season, he's a repeat offender, so...
They will not suspend him for six games, because I believe there's only seven remaining.
There's six.
There are six?
For the Browns, six.
There are six for the Browns. Okay, so then... I would not... That's not out of the realm of possibility that he gets suspended six games. For an act like that, I would not be shocked. For what players get suspended for, you know, drug violations and, you know, failing drug tests, and what about, you know, Kareem Hunt gets suspended, what was it, 10 games for his assault in the offseason? What is different between what Kareem Hunt
that
did? What is different between what Kareem Hunt did? What we didn't see, we don't know exactly what, compared to on national television, Myles Garrett, his act with the helmet.
Yeah.
What would make it a difference that Myles Garrett should not be suspended for, you know, almost the same amount of time as Kareem Hunt?
There's not much of a difference, but you know it's the league. You know, they're gonna end up giving him just four games or something like that, and. You know, the Browns are going to be happy. The league's going to be happy with giving him four games at the most. Like, but that's probably what's going to happen. But six, yeah. Six games should be – he should be done for the season. Should be banned for the season. That's how it should fall out.
Absolutely pathetic and terrible. One Steeler told Jeremy Fowler during the media scrum, he said they are effing classless like they've never been there before. You know why? Because the Browns have never been there before. They have never been good. They are a young team, and they are just, you know, they just have no class to them whatsoever. And, hey, you know where it starts? It starts with your head coach. And what did their head coach have to say after the game? Oh, only a brief 7-second clip, but it tells the whole story.
Do you think the team's out of control? No. I think people get helmet-to-helmet contacts every week.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Freddie Kitchens does not think that his team is out of control. Probably the worst quote I've ever heard coming off of a football game. Players have helmet-to-helmet contact every week. Really? That's your head coach that's going to be fired by the end of the year, probably. That is the head coach you've hired, Cleveland. How great, who's never been a head coach anywhere and has never been a coordinator. And look how he's winning the podium, all right. He's doing great. Saying, really? Are you? I mean, I just cannot believe that response. Players have helmet-to-helmet contact every week. That's your response to that? That is your response.
Wasn't even helmet-to-helmet.
What an awful response by Freddie Kitchens, and just shows the kind of person that, you know, he is, and shows that there is no control whatsoever in Cleveland. There's no stability. There's no sense of leadership. There's nothing.
It's how it's been since the turn of the century. It's just how it is up there in Cleveland, the land.
There is nothing. So, players reacting on Twitter, J.J. Watt saying, that is insanity. Wow. Patrick Mahomes, bro, I can't even believe that just happened. Dez Bryant, he's done for the rest of the year, which, that's it. And Trey Essex basically saying, you know, former Steeler, what we were saying, honestly, the worst I've ever seen, worse than anything Burfict ever did. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's, you know, absolutely, it's absolutely right. Lewis Riddick saying, listen, people, if he had caught Mason Rudolph the right way, he could have killed him or hurt him very bad. This is serious. Marcus Gilbert saying, actually, assault. He should be escorted out of the stadium in handcuffs. Here's more. Reggie Bush said, in all my life of football, that might have been the craziest thing I've seen on a football field. They about to suspend Myles Garrett for 30 years. People getting stomped out. That was a hood fight. Hate to see that in our game. That's not what pro football is about.
Yeah, and just the NFL is trying to clean up everything. And if they were smart here, they would give a real lengthy suspension here.
Nate Washington, former wide receiver, said, all my life, we would have never let that go down. Myles Garrett wouldn't have made it out of the stadium. That's BS. Keenan Allen. Yeah, Bouncy, straight up don't touch my quarterback, let alone disrespect him like that. Just basically players, you know, going to the rescue of Marquise Bouncy, saying, you know, just his actions were correct. Here's Baker Mayfield after the game, and, you know, say what you want about Baker. His post-game interview, he did a phenomenal job.
As you were watching it unfold.
I didn't see why it started, but it's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough. We'll see.
Mason Rudolph.
I give Baker Mayfield a lot of credit for that. I think he responded to the questions phenomenally well. I think he was sincere with what he said, and, you know, we rip on Baker Mayfield a lot. I know I do. But he did exactly what he needed to do in that interview, and I think he meant it.
Maybe he's finally starting to come out as a leader. Maybe this will maybe strengthen this Browns team. Maybe they'll tighten up, maybe become more disciplined, because they have a lot of winnable games down the stretch. Just like the Steelers, it's going to be a dogfight maybe for the second team in the AFC North here, as the Ravens sort of are just pulling away at this point.
And maybe a potential wild card spot.
So, I mean, the Browns, again, they have the Dolphins, they have Steelers at Heinz Field, they have Bengals, Cardinals, Ravens, and then the Bengals to finish off the season. So maybe Baker's starting to come into this leadership role, starting to take hold of it. I mean, he also had a good game as well. I mean, throwing two touchdowns.
Didn't turn the ball
rushing,
over. Didn't
rushing
turn
in
the ball
for
over
score.
Once.
Yeah, not turning over the ball once after a season with 12 interceptions. So he had himself a day, you know, until things got ugly. He had good response to everything. So maybe he's sort of starting to come into things as a leader, maybe there. Maybe he might have a strong finish to the season. See where the Browns go from here.
Two more things that I wanted to point out. David DeCastro basically saying the NFL has to make a statement. Cam Hayward saying the dude was defenseless. And Stephen A. Smith, who, you know, we really don't talk about much, but, you know, does a pretty good job. He said, by the way, neither Pouncey nor DeCastro should be suspended at all, basically cementing what I said. What he said was all he did was protect a defenseless teammate who happened to be their damn quarterback. They shouldn't be penalized at all. I agree 100% with Stephen A., which is what I've been saying on the show today. That is just...
I don't know. It's tough.
How absolutely defenseless is this? This is unlike, you know, hit on a defenseless receiver like we saw with Deontay Johnson. This is a literal hit of a helmet on a defenseless player without a helmet.
And again, like we've talked about, could have killed the guy.
Yeah.
Seriously injured him. And also, me and Andrew were looking at a video. I saw this last night as well. Someone took a football helmet and smashed it against a wooden chair, and it split the chair in half.
Yep.
That's how hard that helmet is.
Like imagine that hitting someone's head. Well, I mean, obviously. Wait. In defense of that video, he hit it with the side of his helmet. It didn't come down straight down how Garrett did it, but still.
But also to think about the way that Rudolph responded to that, he acted like he wasn't fazed.
Dude, he's probably still concussed.
Unfazed. Yeah, he probably...
Mason Rudolph, yeah. There's a lot about Mason Rudolph that I learned, again, from that. Mason Rudolph is a tough guy, man. Mason Rudolph ain't putting up with it.
He's got to get his game going.
So, if you don't think Myles Garrett should be suspended for the rest of the season, you don't know the facts. And here are some more facts. Myles Garrett's 2019 dirty plays, week one, punched Titans tight end Delanie Walker after the whistle. Boom, first offense. Week two, ended Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian's season on a late hit on Monday Night Football. Boom, strike two. Week 11, struck Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. Boom, strike three. Get out of the damn league. Terrible. There you go.
He's not going to be kicked out of the league.
No, not out of the league, but for the season.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
All right, so I think we've talked, you know, quite extensively about Myles Garrett and what happened, but we also can't ignore you know, the game on the field.
Let's get into the game.
We defend Rudolph now, but we're not going to anymore because that was it.
Right before we get into the game, I just want to mention one more thing. Mason Rudolph's agent, his name is Tim Younger. Okay, there was a report out that they are not ruling out any legal options in the aftermath of this. There could be legal actions given against Myles Garrett, and Cleveland police were investigating in the Browns locker room, so there could be something more to this story to make it even wilder than it already has been. But yes, there was a game. The last minute of the game tells the whole story, but there were another 59 minutes being played. And in total, Steelers losing the game 21-7 to the Cleveland Browns. Mason Rudolph, we saw how he reacted at the end of the game, but during the game before that was absolutely terrible. 221 yards passing, threw a touchdown pass to Jalen Samuels, but had four interceptions, was sacked four times, had a fumble, didn't lose it. Mason Rudolph was terrible.
It was just a rough game all around for the Steelers, and the defense even struggled at a lot of times with the Cleveland team that obviously turns the ball over a lot, like we mentioned.
Well,
Mayfield,
I want to speak on
interceptions.
That. The defense has now realized if they don't play good, we lose football games.
Yes.
And the pressure is now all on them, and I don't think this is still a pretty young defense. I don't know if they're ready to handle that pressure of just single-handedly winning games.
Well, I think they are. I just think that they need somewhat of an offensive help.
They needed like at least two offensive touchdowns. And
obviously,
then maybe and we didn't get that. I'm talking about in games in general. Because we can normally hold teams.
This defense did nothing. In my opinion, this defense did nothing wrong. Like, you are going to score. You're just going to naturally score on a team. You're not going to shut them out.
Exactly.
Okay? You're not going to do to the Rams what you do every week, especially when you're playing on the road on a primetime game.
And also, the Browns have reasonable amount of talent on that offense. So
they haven't got cooking.
You know, they've struggled for a majority of the season, but you were expecting maybe a game where
maybe they
Baker Mayfield
on.
Actually had a decent game. So.
Well, Cleveland with an early touchdown in the first on the opening drive, and then Jarvis Landry in the second quarter scoring. Okay. After that, Steeler defense really shut the door down.
Until the catch of the year candidate came on Mark Barron.
It was similar to the Dolphins game. Let up 14 points, and then sort of since then, they sort of shut down the offense. But here, the Steelers' offense couldn't get going on this one.
The only difference being that the Steelers' offense, like you said, nothing.
And also, few games in a row, the Steelers' defense were providing scores as well.
That was part of it. The Steelers' defense was not able to get a turnover in the game.
But you can't rely on that.
No, you can't. But if they wanted any chance to win the game, you knew that there had to be a defensive turnover, even a defensive touchdown to, close the gap either way. Now, looking at it, let's just be honest, Cleveland's not very good. Steelers went into the fourth quarter 14-7. Had a chance to go down and tie the game. Multiple opportunities with no offense whatsoever. Now, there's multiple things to go in.
There was at least a positive of at least Rudolph throwing the ball down the field, which we haven't really seen a lot this year, but none of the receivers were able to bring down the ball.
Positive became a negative. Rudolph threw the ball down the field. Johnny Holton can't catch the ball. It goes right through his hands, and when Rudolph does throw it down the field, it gets intercepted. That's why the coaches don't want him throwing the ball down the field. We saw it right there. We saw the reasons why. Now, just another thing, everyone's going to rip on me already for this one. James Conner, shoulder injury. Again, you cannot count on him as a number one running back. I say it time in and time again. You just cannot count on James Conner. Another injury to his shoulder. He is not reliable. He does not stay on the field. You cannot depend on James Conner to be out there every game. You just cannot. You need a new. There needs to be a new running back. And my confidence in Jalen Samuels is wavering. It's just not there.
Yeah, he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. But
that is
a running back.
As a running back, he's not as good as I thought he was as a running back.
Trey Edmonds has honestly looked the best out of all the backs so far. In the past 3 weeks.
Mason has looked bad. This game, and particularly in the season, when he's just been checked down Charlie, as I think Troy Aikman or Joe Buck said on the broadcast last night. But there is no help whatsoever. There's no weapons around Mason Rudolph.
And when you lose Deontay Johnson and Juju, that doesn't help either.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Deontay Johnson is the best receiver on this team.
I mean, he's proven. I mean, he's showed it. He has the numbers.
Deontay Johnson is playing like the best receiver on this team, and next year he will be the best receiver on this team. He's just He runs better routes. He gets open. He has good quickness. He has good speed. He has a good get off the ball.
I'm curious to see how he goes with Ben. I'm curious whenever Ben gets back, I'm curious to see what they do together.
Yeah, me too. I think Johnson has to be he's the number one guy. I think he's the number one guy right now. I think you can argue that. I think he's better than Juju. I honestly do. I mean
he has the same amount of touchdowns as Juju, so.
Yeah. I don't have the numbers on hand, but I'm sure he has more yards.
He has 10 less targets than Juju, but he has 380 yards. Juju has 524.
Okay. Johnson also was not active in the offense the first two games with Ben Roethlisberger, and I think he was also held out, I believe, one game earlier where he just did not see the field very much. That's when Moncrief, everybody was trying to get Moncrief into the game on the Steelers' offensive personnel, but we saw how that went. But yeah, just not a good game overall. Special teams was bad. Jordan Berry not being able to get down the spot down for Chris Boswell, missed a field goal early on in the game. Just an absolute mess. Steelers had 58 yards rushing. Mark Barron gives up a touchdown in the end zone where he had his back to the receiver.
It was the dude's first catch of the year.
He was a guy
and
from
also, why
where?
Is Mark Barron playing so far back in the secondary? I guess they Mark were going man-to-man.
He's playing coverage, yeah. That's a guy from an Ivy League school, I think they said, that was out there making a catch. Oh, whoop-de-doo, great. Again, Mark Barron standing right there. He's got a hand. He's not even looking at the ball. He's just looking at the man. He's face guarding the man. An obvious would-be pass interference call, but hey, the ball slipped right through, right past Mark Barron's hand and right into the receiver's head. Oh, man.
Well, but the Steelers have to move on from here. Steelers have to look at the Bengals, and that is honestly a very, very crucial game at this point, because after an ugly game in this game, you have to go and win this Bengals game. If you slip and you let this Bengals team win, oh, man, the Steelers are in big trouble. Not just for the season, but just with everything. Fans, oh, it's going to be bad if they lose this game.
I don't think there's any chance that they lose this game, but I do think that, you know, it is.
I don't know. But the defense will hold their own.
I do. Yeah, I think so.
It depends if the Steelers can score on offense. I mean, 7 points against the Browns.
Well, if we're talking about real suspension, you throw Duck in, I'm fine with that. You throw Duck Hodges in, I think we win that game. You throw Rudolph in, I'm not too sure if we win that game.
No, don't. Look, I was jokingly saying put Duck Hodges in last night. No, come on.
What do you have to lose at that point?
You're still 5-5 in a playoff race.
But we've seen, it's been proven that Rudolph just can't, he can't do anything
he
with the ball.
He can't get it done. I think he's still, you know, messed up from his hit, his concussion. And now this doesn't help his case at all with the hit, you know, from Myles Garrett on the head. So
Max Kellerman from ESPN's First Take is saying that Mason Rudolph was the one that started the fight and that the reaction Myles Garrett has been given is hysterical. Max Kellerman, I just want to say that you are hysterical, and I don't understand what you were watching last night. I think you're also on the Cleveland Browns hype train. Your take is pretty awful and pretty pathetic, in my opinion. Awful, can't even speak. Obviously not as pathetic as the hit that was put on Mason Rudolph, but that, where do you come up with that take, honestly? Where do you come up with that? Really? Really? Just that's just a guy looking for clicks, looking for an audience, looking for someone just to talk about him some more, try to get his name out there. So, Max Kellerman, you are wrong, and people are going to tell you that, and you should know that you are wrong and just trying to take a take to get some publicity on TV. So, there you have it. Well, that's the Steelers. Bengals coming up next week. We'll talk about that more on next week's The Last Baldwin in the Berg Before Thanksgiving. Yay, Thanksgiving.
We may have a
Thanksgiving special Turkey Bowl draft. It's either going to be Friday or Saturday. We're not exactly sure yet. But we will figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll have lots of people.
Quit staring us at Josh us outside the room.
Yeah, Josh is currently outside the radio room. I'm not sure if he wants to get in and talk to us or not, but there's Josh. So, Nate, you want to move on? College.
Let's move on. Stick with football.
Let's move on. We have 20 minutes left.
There was a big shakeup in one of the home teams here.
I had my Connor rant and my Juju rant all prepared, but when this Myles Garrett stuff happened, I'm just not going to do it. But I am going to mention Juju had two drops, so there you go. Let's move on. There's no relevant facts of the day today because this is a very serious day today, so no funny business on irrelevant facts. But let's move on. We'll just mention really quickly before we get into college football. Baseball, Brian Reynolds gets fourth in the Rookie of the Year voting. Good to see from Brian Reynolds. Wish he was in the top three, but fourth is still pretty good for this season that he had. Cody Bellinger and Mike Trout win the MVPs in the National and American League, respectively. Very well deserving. The two best players in each league. Could have been Alex Bregman. Could have been...
Do you think the scandal had anything to play
Anthony Rendon? No, it was already voted upon. So, I think... I think it's pretty good who won the MVP.
Yeah.
I think Bregman should have won, but I understand Mike Trout. He's the best player in the game, so it makes sense. But let's go to college football. Pitt, last night. Nate, you were there. I was watching the Steelers and was offered to go to the Pitt game. I was like, nah. Steelers, Pitt, overtime win over North Carolina. Tell us about it.
Well, there is one football team that somehow continues to barely pull out wins. Pitt, once again, squeaking out here, 34-27 in overtime. It was an interesting game, to say the least. A lot of penalties for the Panthers.
Weren't they up by double digits again and blew it again?
Yeah, they were up by 14. UNC scores 14 unanswered. But the Tar Heels, they have a good... quick strike offense, deep downfield passing game with Sam Howell, and they have three receivers that are pretty darn good that all had a touchdown on the night: Daz Newsome, Bo Corrales, and De'Ami Brown, all deep touchdown passes. One was even Jason Pinnock was all over I think Bo Corrales, and he still pulled it in. But Panthers end up showing the resiliency. They come out on top, 34-27 in overtime. Kenny Pickett had himself a day. On the field, he passed for 359 yards, a touchdown. He also ran for two touchdowns, 53 yards. Kenny Pickett continuing to improve on the season as the season goes on. And they next take on Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech. That's a big game as Pitt continues to look to...
Did we pass them in the Coastal?
Who?
Virginia. You're taking Virginia
Tech. Virginia's still ahead. Virginia really looks like the favorite. All they have to do is beat Virginia Tech and it's over. But Pitt... big win here in overtime. Jalen Twyman, 2.5 sacks on the defensive side, continues. Pitt, 45 total sacks on defense, continues to be the best in the league.
Twyman's been great. This whole pass rush has been great for Pitt.
Yeah, they continue to show their stuff and continue to be arguably one of the best defenses in the nation, which at the beginning of the year was not even considered. So
right.
And the offense got the job done in the ground game. That's I believe it was four rushing touchdowns. Pickett with one. Pickett at two. Three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett with two, A.J. Davis with one, and the offense also was able to get the ball down through the air. I mean, 350 yards for Pickett. That's I believe I saw something watching the game. That was his fourth 300-yard game, fourth or fifth.
Shockey Jacques-Louis getting downfield for a big 74-yard score, I believe.
Taysier Mack with six receptions, 83 yards. Lewis, again, being the leader with four receptions, 104 with that big 74-yard touchdown that you were talking about. I mean, Will Craig had a couple big catches late in the game.
Yeah, their tight ends. Nikea Griffin-Stewart actually held onto the ball for once in his lifetime down the middle, made a nice catch.
Made that one big
into
play.
Coverage. But, they're finally airing the ball out downfield. They were without Maurice French. I think they said he had a broken jaw. So that was, good for Shockey Jacques-Louis to get going there, get himself some yardage, get himself a big touchdown. He had a nice touchdown grab that they overruled. They said he didn't have control, but he clearly had control. But it's fine. Damar Hamlin was ejected for targeting, but he'll be back next game as it was in the first half. So just a lot of interesting stuff that happened in this game. But Pitt continues to be resilient.
Five sacks in total on the Sam Howell. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, Sam Howell. He had a big game versus Virginia too last week. So.
And he almost beat Clemson a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
This team was not an easy pushover. Obviously, they scored 14 unanswered, but Pitt holds them off in overtime. Now, the other team in the state, big time, Penn State, goes into Minnesota and loses as the number four team in the playoff pool. They lose 31-26. How about that? Minnesota coming up huge, knocking them off. They jumped into the top 10 over top of Penn State. Big day for Tanner Morgan, starting quarterback. He went 18 for 20, three touchdowns on the day. Rashad Bateman, 203 receiving yards and a touchdown. That game was, I was following it on my phone.
And I was just like surprised that Minnesota was up, I think, 31-19. Yeah, 31-19. And they were able to hold them. Sean Clifford turned human again, throwing three interceptions.
Yeah, one in the end zone at the end of the game that should have been pass interference, but, you know.
And then the ground game really got going there with Journey Brown, 124 yards and two touchdowns. It was sort of an opposite.
It was a little bit of the opposite where usually it's the passing game that gets going. But.
And, Clifford still threw for 300 yards. I mean, K.J. Hamler, 7 receptions, 119 yards.
Pat Freiermuth continues to be dominant, seven receptions,
100 yards. And then Jahan Dotson with a big 49-yard catch with 3 receptions for 70 yards. I mean, they got production out of people. Just, you know, Bateman with 200 yards receiving, and then Tyler Johnson with 100 yards receiving. I mean, I didn't know this Minnesota team had that kind of offensive firepower to put up on the Lions, who, again, had one of the best defenses in the nation.
Yeah, their defense really didn't get anything going. Only had one sack on the day. Came from Micah Parsons. You know, he's been continuing to talk about him, one of the top linebackers in the nation. So, Minnesota, though, I think they finish with – they play Iowa next. I'm not sure who they have in between, but then they finish with Wisconsin. So, we'll see if they can run the table and go undefeated.
They could potentially.
That'd be crazy if they go –
potentially sneak in.
That'd be crazy if they go undefeated into the Big Ten Conference Championship, most likely versus Ohio State. Depends what Penn State does against them. Penn State does have Indiana at Penn State this weekend. Indiana, though, 7-2, they're not going to be such a pushover, but, you know, we've talked about Penn State taking on teams that are, you know, decent. We talked about Maryland, you know, weeks back that we thought it was going to be a much closer game.
And then they blew them out of the water.
Yeah, Penn State mopped the floor. So that's Penn State. On to West Virginia football.
They're still bad, right, Nate?
Nothing much to talk about. They're 3-6. Lost to Texas Tech 38-17. Again, no running game. Austin or Kennedy McCoy, 14 yards on 4 carries. Leedy Brown, 10 yards on 6 carries. Again, this team continues to struggle in almost every facet of the game. Austin Kendall didn't have a great game. Threw 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Continues to have a rough go this season. 3-6 for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, they're not good.
Now, quickly, we can touch on college basketball and the big game that was on campus on Tuesday on Monday night.
Big game on campus Tuesday. We went and got the tickets Monday morning.
Wow, that was Tuesday.
Tuesday. But
wow, this week was crazy.
This week was so wild. We don't even get our days correct. But let's talk about the college basketball. Pitt rebounds after losing to Nicholls. I was there with Joey Shields and Nick Powell. Shout out to those guys. We were there as we watched Pitt lose to Nicholls State. Wow, was that embarrassing. But hey, as I wrote in my preview for the game, maybe that they were overlooking Nicholls for RMU. Not the case. As Pitt ends up winning the game 71-57, I ended up with the point spread, right, of 14 points. I said 70-56, and I was just 1 point off on each end. So that was pretty nice. Josh is now leaving. Goodbye, Josh. Have a good day. But, yeah, Pitt rebounds, beats RMU. Now
Ryan Murphy, against Nicholls State, 28 points, and I think versus RMU, 10 or 11. He's been a sharpshooter for them to start the season.
Yeah, he can hit some threes. And
he did only put up 10, though, against RMU, though.
But he's the shooter that Pitt needs, and he's the shooter that Pitt has not had, especially last season, that they've not had since Parker Stewart, who transferred after the whole Kevin Stallings debacle. But I do want to say that the atmosphere at the UPMC Event Center was absolutely raucous. It was going fun. Crazy.
It's a shame because we're rarely going to find
a good game
and find it like that crazy again.
And it was, in fact, a good game. Juju was there. I have my opinions on that, but we'll talk about that next week. Kevin Colbert was there. He's an RMU alum. Good to see him there. Mel Blount was there. Rocky Blyer was there. Charlie Batch was there.
Good atmosphere, fun game. Good for the community.
It was a good game. Mongoluzzo and Joey Shields were there sitting with us in the student section.
An enemy territory
for those two, even though Mongo.
Jeff Remark, Johnny Valente, they were there.
Mongo claims to go to Pitt, but he goes to CCAC, but, you know.
Hey, you got
to
give it to RMU, though. They were up by 11 in the first half, and they had the game tied at halftime. So yep. They kept it fun and interesting.
Well, that's what I thought.
Kept students there, kept fans there.
That's what I said in my preview. I thought, you know, the raucous atmosphere with a young Pitt team, it's going to be a close game early on. I said it'd probably be close at halftime, and then later on in the game in the second half, Pitt's just going to take control. And that is, in fact, what did happen.
And they did that by means of Terrell Brown, who was an absolute defensive animal.
They made Terrell Brown look like Wilt Chamberlain down there.
Five blocks.
Now
two
in the
steals.
ACC, he'll look like nowhere as close.
Oh,
as
God. They made him look like the tree. They made him look with the small RMU guard trying to go into the paint. It was like going against Taco Fall for those RMU guards going up against Terrell Brown.
Yeah, five blocks, two steals. I mean, that's like. That's insane, but again, it is against RMU. Not very much to like take away, but still, it was a very impressive performance by Terrell Brown.
Yeah, Pitt has a much taller task tonight as they host WVU in the backyard,
Brawl.
Watch out for Derek Culver, Emmett Matthews.
Let's see that full court press.
Yeah, Mountaineers took it to the Zips as it was actually closer, 10-point game, but it was close in the first half, and then Mountaineers pulled away. Just how Pitt did to RMU. So that will be a game to watch tonight at the Pete.
All right, let's quickly talk about the Penguins. Sidney Crosby out for 6 weeks. Probably longer. But hey, hockey doesn't really officially start until January, at least in my opinion, or after the Super Bowl.
We have to make it.
Hey, the Penguins struggle mightily every November. It's just how they are. They can't find their
touch. Penguins don't care until after the Steelers season's over. Like, no one pays attention. Let's be honest. No one pays attention to the Penguins until after the Steelers season's over.
That's false.
Well, honestly, like, no one focuses on them.
The Penguins don't play like themselves until January.
Exactly, until the Steelers are done. So it's like, no one really, it's kind of like,
but people still watch them.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hover above water until like January, until the trade deadline. And then everybody's like, all right, here we go. We'll start playing now.
I mean, but they are 10-6-2, lost a tight one, a close one to the Rangers the other day. Capo Caco with the OT goal.
Did we question what Malkin was doing on that play? Did you see the goal?
Failed back check.
He didn't even attempt to do it. But again, that's been Malkin's MO.
That's how he plays. But he did, I think, come out after the game and said he's going to step up big time, hopefully when Crosby's down, as he's expected to miss a minimum of 6 weeks after
muscle surgery.
Yeah, that's a big-time loss for the Pens. It's more
than a big-time. It's monumental just because what Sid does for the team, not only is he a great hockey player, he's one of the best leaders I've ever seen.
I mean, 17 points through 17 games for him.
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, he leads the team in points. He leads them on and off the ice. I mean, a guy like that out for 6 weeks, he's irreplaceable. But the team, I mean, hopefully we can get someone that calls up that's able to perform in their absence.
Sam Lafferty will probably come back up and perform the way he did.
And maybe we can find that diamond in the rough and hoping it's Sam Lafferty.
Okay, all right. Right in right now, we have breaking news. We have a breaking news sound. Well, you heard Mike Pereira say maybe they'll take some time to evaluate. Suspensions are officially in. This is the statement from the NFL. I've not been able to read over it, so I'll read you the whole thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns organizations have each been fined $250,000, and three players, Cleveland's Myles Garrett and Larry Ogunjobi, and Pittsburgh Steelers' Marquise Pouncey, have been suspended without play for their actions in Thursday night's games. Here's the suspensions. Garrett has been suspended without pay indefinitely, at a minimum for the remainder of the regular season and postseason. At a minimum. Okay. I'm liking that already.
Pouncey, three games.
And
we saw. And then
I'm reading the press release, Golvash.
Larry Ogunjobi suspended one game
and
five.
I hate you. You are terrible. You are absolutely terrible.
All right, can you repeat that? Because I didn't even hear what.
I didn't even hear what he said either, because he's trying to steal my thunder because he shows up 5 minutes before the show and wants to talk. So back to Garrett. He must meet the commissioner's office prior to his decision on the reinstatement. He needs to be reinstated. He was also fined an additional amount. Garrett violated unnecessary roughness and unsportsmanlike conduct rules, as well as fighting, removing the helmet of an opponent and using the helmet as a weapon. Pouncey has been suspended without pay for three games and fined an additional amount for fighting, including punching and kicking an opponent. That's what you guys called for three. So, Ogunjobi has suspended without pay for one game and fined an additional amount for unnecessary roughness, specifically for shoving an opposing player to the ground during altercation. Additional discipline for other players will be forthcoming throughout the standard accountability process, including those players that left the bench and enter the fight area. Oh, get over it. Under the collective bargaining agreement, the suspensions may be appealed within 3 business days. Appeals are heard and decided by some of the players in the NFLPA and appointed and compensated by the NFL. Okay, that's basically it. But the point is, Garrett is suspended indefinitely. He has to apply for reinstatement. Okay, wow. Good for the NFL.
Sounds like Josh Gordon.
Good for the NFL to pull this down on the Browns and pull this down on Myles Garrett. I give the NFL a lot of credit for standing up for this.
It's what they needed to do to get this, you know, under control and show, you know, a statement move that they were keeping control of this. They needed to do that. It's big time. I think Pouncey, you know, three games, it's a little bit of a stretch, honestly. I was not expecting three games.
I thought they were going to give them two.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then Ogunjobi, I was, you know, one game.
One game, fair enough.
Fair enough.
If it would have gone Ogunjobi 1, Pouncey 2, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, what a breaking news segment. Thank God that came on before the 12 o'clock hour and we were able to talk about it.
We would have been off the air if our show didn't get delayed by half an hour.
Hypothetically, if you're tuning in, you probably heard it here first.
Welcome. How about that? Turkey Bowl group chat, you guys are listening in. You heard it here first, so there we go. So,
do we want to return to the Penguins just for a brief moment?
Tag in.
All right.
Two over one, override.
Here, let's just wrap it up. Penguins 10-6-2. They come off, you know, they win against Blackhawks last weekend, lose to the Rangers in overtime.
We've had a lot of shootout games.
Penguins came back again in that game versus the Blackhawks. They were down 2-0.
But again, I'm actually content with overtime loss. Again, there's still a point. I mean, it sucks to lose those games, but I mean, you win them. If you lose them, you still get a point.
And so you went into MSG, and you know, you played tough against the Rangers team. That's young, but they're wanting to win.
They're wanting to win, and they're not terrible.
And so now they go into the Prudential Center in New Jersey, and they take on the Devils, who are an underwhelming team at 5-8-4. So hopefully the Penguins can take care of business there and get things on a roll as Crosby is out for 6 weeks.
All right. Let's go Penguins. How about them Cowboys?
All right. Well, that takes away from my predictions of how many games everybody would get. So there goes that.
Now talk about no time period. They went right away and handed out these suspensions. Wow.
Yeah, they want to just shove this under the rug as much as they can. So, now we can talk about, at least to ourselves now, because we only have a minute left, just that how bad the Steelers offense really was. Now we can push away the suspension talk and all that. Now we can talk about how bad this offense was and what could be done to fix it. But, yep, well, that was bad. Anybody's got their shout-outs for the day on a Friday? 10th show of Auburn in the Berg. We hit double digits, boys. Go ahead, Andrew Goldbach.
I would like to shout out my mom and my brother, even though my brother's playing a hockey game right now. He was supposed to be watching until certain people in here kind of ruined that for me, so I appreciate that.
Not us.
Not us. Yeah, well, not us.
Group
not,
project.
Not group project.
Stupid college.
Stupid group projects. But yeah, Mom, I love you, Alex. Peace out. I'll see you in a hot sec. I'll be coming home soon. But I love you, and shout out the turkey. Shout out the Turkey Bowl group chat.
All right, my shout outs go to my mom and my grandmother listening live on air for the first time, I believe. Shout out to you guys. And shout out to Brennan Ferrari who's listening in.
We almost got a call in from Brendan.
Yeah, he
Ferrari.
Wanted to call in, but I don't even know the number.
Mr. Gerchak learned to call in too. I'm sure he's listening. That's one of my shout outs.
We'll figure that out. We're still, you know, learning here and there.
What do you mean? It's show 10.
Well, it's show 10,
hey,
but
it's been
2 months.
Bit.
Hey, we're just talking to the microphone at this point. But I want to give my shout outs to Mr. Gerchak. I mentioned thanks for listening in, whole Turkey Bowl group chat. I want to shout out my dad for. I went home for the game yesterday, so me and him both got to yell at the TV and yell at Myles Garrett, so that was a bunch of fun. Shout out to Dad, shout out to Mom, my sisters, the whole rest of my family. Shout out to everybody. And I want to shout out anybody listening. Thank you for listening. It has been a very entertaining day so far. It's been a very entertaining show. I don't think anybody could have seen all this coming last night, but the rivalry is renewed. Cleveland, you wanted it, now you got it, and now I don't even know what comes next, but these two teams play in a couple weeks at Heinz Field. A lot to happen coming up. We'll see.
Gerchak, we can't call you in.
We'll see.
We can't call him in. He wants it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But here we go.
Get out,
Gerchak.
10th show,
just closing out. Gerchak, I love you, man. We'll figure out the Turkey Bowl group chat. Turkey Bowl draft coming up soon. Might be next show. We'll figure it out. But this is Baldwin in the Berg, show number 10. Thank you for listening. I'm Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And I'm Andrew Golovash. Peace.
Have a great week. And we'll see you next week. I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow.